السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. توکل علی اللہ وکفا باللہ وکیلا.
Who says the translation of the verse is that put your trust in Allah and Allah is sufficient for you to be your guardian. This Quranic statement is in fact for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a message of consolation for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should have no worries, and also give comfort to your companions that no matter what kind of situation it is possible that they would try to annihilate you and your followers on a large scale, and all the tribes together would try to end your community, but they cannot harm you in the least. Previously, Allah has been your protector and has taken you out from all trouble and all difficulty. And in future, He will also protect you no matter what the situation is, whatever conspiracies of the enemies there are. The enemy will never succeed in their attempt to destroy Islam. Therefore, you should continue as always to put your trust in Allah. Allah had not given this comfort to him that he was, God forbid, was fearful or he lacked in his trust in God. But it was to encourage the companions, because sometimes even a weak heart must not think that we are weak, and how can we defend against such great powers. Also, that the enemy should be informed and made aware that we are not going to bow before you, as always we put our trust in one and only God, and are full of this certainty that as always He will help us and will continue to back us. And the enemy, as always, will be frustrated and will be defeated. The enemy's desire will never come to pass and be fulfilled. That they can harm the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or harm Islam. Therefore, as I said, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had such a deep trust in God that it was without limit. He had set the high standards of trust in God at the time when his companions were weak and they could not defend themselves against the enemy. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the example of trust in God when he was alone, and on his own he would set out to convey the message of Allah. Even then he had the full trust in God and had the certitude and dependence on Him that eventually I will be victorious. And according to the command of God, He always raised the same voice that, "Tell them He is our Lord, there is none worthy of worship beside Him. I put my trust in Him and I bow humbly to Him." So this is the testimony of the Holy Quran of the trust in God of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah is commanding him to make this declaration that I who know the secrets of your heart, I tell you that you must declare that you have always put your trust in me. Also, in the previous scriptures, we find mention of his high qualities, which includes his trust in God. There is a report which is from Hazrat Atta bin Nasa'. He says that I met Abdullah bin Amr bin As and asked him to tell me about the quality of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which is mentioned in Torah. He said, "By God, there such qualities has been attributed to him in Torah, by which he has also been attributed in the Holy Quran." And he recited the verse of the Holy Quran that, "O the Messenger, we have certainly raised you as a giver of glad tidings and of warning, and also protector for the ummis. And you are my servant and my messenger, and I have called you Mutawakkil." So this is the testimony of Torah. That he always put his trust in God. The further report is that you are neither of harsh words nor reply evil with evil. You overlook mistakes and you forgive them, and Allah will not let you die until He has guided the crooked people and people want to declare La ilaha illallah. And the blind can see through you, and the deaf can hear, and the veils of the hearts are lifted through you. So this was the person who put his trust in Allah, was called Mutawakkil, whose name has been, who has been given the name of Mutawakkil thousands of years before his birth. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only set high examples of putting trust in God, but also made effort to create this quality in among his followers. The examples that we find in his life, I will put a few of those examples before you. But let me first of all tell you in brief what is tawakkul. To sit idly by, not to do anything, or just to see that we are sitting here, Allah will fulfill all our needs. This is not tawakkul. But to use all means possible and then to depend on God and to bow to Him is what is tawakkul. Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has defined that the tawakkul means that whatever means Allah has created to attain something, you should do your best in them and then engage yourself in prayer that, O Allah, make the conclusion right. There are difficulties in the way which can destroy those means. May Allah protect us from this and give us the true victory and take us to the destined objective. This was the method of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever he faced a difficulty which created a little fear in him, he, despite doing all material means, he used to leave the matter on God. And Ibn Abbas reports that at the time of worry, he used to say, "There is none worthy of worship except Allah. He is Lord of great sovereignty. There is none worthy of worship except God. He is Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth and Lord of the throne. He is the master of everything. He is Lord of everything. Therefore, you should put all your trust in Him and depend on Him." For example, we observe that on great situations and events, he used to put his trust in God in the same way as though it was a minor matter, that I have used my means, then he left everything on God. For example, think of the situation when he was alone and has set out to preach in Taif, and they unleashed atrocities when he returned. Apparently there was no means of re-entry to Mecca, and he has a servant accompanying him. And the servant is worried what will happen. But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the complete trust in his Lord, mentioning this, that Zaid bin Harsa, his servant, reports that when I submitted to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O the Messenger of Allah, how will you re-enter Mecca? whereas they have exiled you and there is no path left open to you. What a great glorious way of his trust. He said that, O Zaid, you will see Allah will create some path. Allah is supporter of his religion. He will make his prophet prevail. For the Holy Prophet ﷺ sent a message to the leaders of Quraysh that they should offer their protection to enter Mecca. And all the leaders refused, except Mu'tam bin Abi had announced and declared that he is taking the Holy Prophet in his protection and let him re-enter Mecca. Although, according to the customary way, he did adopt some means, but his trust was in Allah, and before taking that action, he had the certitude that he will enter Mecca again. Then you see his great trust and his great certitude that Allah definitely helps in good works, and therefore in every good work one should try to do his duty and do that work by putting one's trust in Allah. The strongest enemy of Quraysh he was that he went to restore somebody, some poor man's right. And this is how the incident is related. That a man came to sell some of the things in Mecca, and Abu Jahl bought some of his wares. But after taking possession over the camels, he refused to pay him the price, or he was trying to put him off. At this, that man who was alone was a traveler in Mecca. He had no friend or companion with him who could help him. He was deeply worried. And for a few days he followed Abu Jahl and requested him to pay. But each time Abu Jahl put him off. And eventually one day where the leaders of the Quraysh were sitting in Kaaba, and he said, the leaders of Quraysh, one among you is Abu Hakam. He is not paying the price of my camels. Please ask him to pay me. The Quraysh, as a joke, said, there is somebody, Muhammad bin Abdullah. He may help you in this regard. You should go and visit him. They thought that when he will visit the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will refuse to accompany him to Abu Jahl. And when he will refuse, they will have an opportunity to make fun of him, and the people who come from outside will know his position in Mecca. So he visited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him his problem, that this is how I want to get some price of my camels from Abu Jahl. And the Quraysh also sent someone to pursue and see what happens. So when he related his story to the Holy Prophet ﷺ and said, Abul Hakam is not paying the price of my camels, and I have been told that you are the only one who can make him pay the dues to me. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stood up immediately and said, I will accompany you to Abu Jahl. When they visited Abu Jahl's house and knocked at the door, when Abu Jahl came out, when he looked at the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he was worried. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that you owe him this much money, would you pay him? he said, hang on a minute, I will come, go and get the money. So those who saw, they said the Abu Jahl's color was vanishing, and he said, Muhammad, just wait, I will bring the money. He came out with the money and immediately paid to the person whom he had owed it. And he also thanked the Holy Prophet ﷺ and left. And when he went back to the Quraysh, he thanked them that you had guided me to the right man, as a result of which I have got my price. And they were sitting there. When the person who they had asked to pursue, they asked him what happened. He told the whole story, and they were amazed. After a while, Abu Jahl also appeared there. And then people said, what did you do? That you immediately paid him the dues. Were you so much frightened of the Holy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, by God, when I saw Muhammad standing at my door, I saw that there were two mad camels next to him who were enraged, and I said, if I hesitated, he will eat me up. So you can see that the disbelievers of Mecca had said that, sent him there, that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will refuse, and then they will be disgraced, and people who come from outside will not be influenced by his position. But the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a full trust in his God, and he immediately stood up and did not care how much opponent he is, and how great a leader he is. Then the kuffar thought that if they had gone, Abu Jahl will treat him harshly, and he will come to know of the position, the lowly position of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But according to his promise, Allah had made great arrangement as a result of the trust in God of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah created such situation that Abu Jahl was forced to carry out, that he observed a mad and enraged camel, and he immediately went in and paid the due to the man. So you can see that at his migration, because of his trust in God's promises and trust in Allah, he went right in front of the enemy, and he had no fear or worry of any kind. This incident is reported that different tribes of Quraysh were gathered around his house, and they had encircled the house of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Allah's name, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come out of his home, whereas all the leaders of these tribes of Quraysh were standing right in front of his door. But they never could have even had the remotest idea. And Allah must also have put some covering over their eyes that a man can come out so courageously in front of them. So in any case, he came out and left Hazrat Ali to lie in his bed. And he also had trust and had full confidence and said to Hazrat Ali that you must not worry, you lie in my bed. But this is the surety that no one will harm you in the least. Then when he reached the Saur cave, accompanied by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, here also we see a great example of his trust in God. When the enemy came to know that he has left his house, and it was Hazrat Ali who was lying in his bed, they were much worried. And they also went to Hazrat Abu Bakr's house, and they treated harshly the women in the house. But when pursuing him, they reached the mouth of the cave, and they were so near the cave that they could see their feet, and they could even hear their words that the Holy Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr heard the discussions of the enemy at the mouth of the cave, and they could see their feet. And Hazrat Abu Bakr was a little worried, but here we see a greatest glory of the trust of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in God. He said to Hazrat Abu Bakr, "La tahzan, inna Allaha ma'ana." Do not worry, Allah is with us. Then he said, "O Abu Bakr, what do you think of the two people who are accompanied by the third, which is God?" Another report state that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, says that, "I am not worried about you myself. If I am killed, I am on my own. But if you are harmed, then the whole followers and the Ummah will be harmed." And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not worry, Allah is with us." When he came out of the cave after 3 days and set out to Medina, then we see an entirely different glory of his trust in God. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq saw that someone is pursuing them on horseback. At this, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, was worried, and he said, "O the Holy Prophet, somebody is pursuing us." The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not worry, Allah is with us." He had such deep trust in his Lord. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was certain and had the trust in God that we have come for His sake, at His commandments, He will protect us. Suraqa, who was pursuing, reports the matter and says that, "When I set out to pursue the Holy Prophet, and when I reached near them, the horse stumbled and fell down. And he took the lot to know, and that was against him to continue to pursue. But since he had the greed that whosoever will bring Muhammad will be given a reward of 100 camels, so he had this greed, and that is what was forcing him that he should continue to pursue him. Then the horse stumbled again and fell." He said, "I was so near that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was reciting the Holy Quran, and I could hear his recitation." In this situation, Hazrat Abu Bakr was turning repeatedly back to see him, but the Holy Prophet ﷺ did not turn back once to look at him. He was full trust in his Lord and has full certitude, and he did not even care to look back. In any case, when he took lots again, which was against him, and he stopped pursuing him, But he shouted to the Holy Prophet ﷺ that this was my intention to pursue, and I think it was wrong for me to pursue. I am going to turn back. Now, the person who had come to arrest the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now his condition was that as he was returning, he took a written document of his protection, that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have the victory over the whole of Arabia, please give me a protection that I will not be harmed. At this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave this glad tiding to Suraqa, that what will be your situation when you will be wearing the bangles of Kisra. And this came to pass at the time of Hazrat Umar. Now, after migration to Medina, the disbelievers of Mecca imposed war on him, against him, and with a small party of his companions who were not fully, who did not even have the weapons, and because of their experience and because of their great weapons of the enemy, they set out to defend against such an enemy. And it is this as situation is reported, that on the time of the Battle of Badr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ had given full instruction to his army and set to pray to God and said, that, O Allah, if this small band of believers were destroyed, no one will worship in the world. And he was spreading his hand and was praying with deep feelings, that the reporter says that the excited emotion with which he was praying, his sheet will fall from his shoulders. And Hazrat Abu Bakr put it back and said, Oh, the Messenger of God, please stop. You have done enough prayer. Allah will certainly fulfill all His promises which He has made to you. This prayer, this deep supplication, was not that he had any fear whether God will help him or not. If this was the situation, then how could he have come out with a small band of people who did not have even enough weapons? This prayer was to absorb the grace and mercy of Allah, and therefore by setting them in battle array, he had given instructions where they will have to stand, and then he supplicates to God that whatever apparent means I had, whatever plans we could do, we have done them, and we have done all this by putting our trust in you. Therefore, O Lord, fulfill your promise. If these companions to increase their faith in you and to increase their trust in you, that you should show such sights, such scenes which should be remembered by them and remembered by coming generations. As far as his personal trust in God was concerned and his certitude was concerned, it was so great that before going to the battle, he had pinpointed the place where the enemy's leaders will fall. It is reported that before the battle, in the Battle of Badr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has put marks on the ground with his hand and said, such and such a leader of Quraysh will fall here, and such and such enemy will fall in such and such place. And Hazrat Sa'd bin Ibadah reports, wherever the Holy Prophet ﷺ had marked the ground, there was no difference, and each leader had died exactly in the same place. So there is another example of his certitude in God and his trust in God. Hazrat Jabir reports that once he accompanied on a campaign, to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ was returning with his companions, it was midday, and the people went in a valley where there were many trees, and he set camp there, and the people were spread out to seek shade. The Holy Prophet ﷺ also lay under one tree, under the shade of a tree, and hung his sword with the branch of the tree. And this is a commonly reported incident. Everyone must have heard it. After a while, someone woke him up. There was a villager standing there with a sword in his hand. The Holy Prophet ﷺ asked the companions, narrated this to them, that while I was sleeping, a Bedouin came and said, who will save you now? And three times I said, Allah, 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 and the sword fell from the hand of this villager, and he could inflict no harm. There is another report that when the sword fell, the Holy Prophet ﷺ took hold of that sword and said, who can now save you? The Bedouin was much worried and was begging forgiveness from the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, do you bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except God, and I am the messenger of Allah? He said, I don't believe in that, but I resolve that I will never fight you in future, nor will accompany those who will fight you. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ forgave him, and when he returned to his people, he said that I have come from such a person who is the best among the mankind. So you can see that a person who had come with an intention to kill him, he was begging to spare his life. Then there was a battle of Ahzab, which was the most difficult time for Muslims. They had decided to stay within Medina to fight the enemy. It was not because of fear or lack of trust in God, but it was the plan of war. And they had dug up a trench around Medina so that they can be protected against a sudden onslaught of the enemy. Most of the Muslims were very poor among them, who lived hand to mouth. And despite such adversity, all the people gathered together and dug up that trench. So that they can be protected against the attacks of the enemy. And all the tribes had collected together, and there are different numbers reported in different statements, but the least number is 10,000. Sometimes they say it's 15,000, and other reports say 24,000. Even 10,000 people was a large number compared to the small population of Medina. because of the poverty and the adversity, and despite being in small number, Muslims were ready to defend against such a large army. And therefore, it was the plan that they should stay within the precinct of the city to defend themselves. It was also a grace of God, and Allah had already informed them, and the Muslim faith was strengthened, and the Muslims were not worried by observing the large numbers of the enemies. But the trust in God of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had increased the trust of Muslims. And despite hearing the words of the hypocrites and of the enemies, they were not losing courage. And as a result of this steadfastness and their trust, Allah made such an arrangement that a great storm had frightened the enemy and they ran away in such a hurry that they left much of their weapons and their material behind, which was used by the Muslims. So this was the outcome of their trust in God, that how Allah made such arrangements for them. When they were digging up the trench, there was another example of the trust of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in God and his miracle. Hazrat Jabir says that when we were digging up the trench, there was a great rock. And we approached the Holy Prophet ﷺ that we are facing a rock and then the Holy Prophet ﷺ accompanied in such a situation that he was tying stone over his tummy, because we had not eaten anything for 3 days. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ took up the pickaxe and shattered the rock. So the Hazrat Jabir asked, could he go home, and told his wife that I have seen the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's situation of hunger. I can't tolerate. Have you got anything to eat? She said, there is a young of a goat, and I had some barley, and she ground the barley and she cooked some meal. And I reached the Holy Prophet ﷺ when the pot was just to boil. And when the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, come to me, come to our house for meal. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ, how much meal have you got at home? So the Holy Prophet, he told him, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, that's enough. And tell your wife not to take off the pot from the fire, nor start cooking the naans until I reached. And he asked all the companions to accompany him. And Jabir says, I said to my wife that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has brought all his companions with him. She said, did he ask you what meal we had? She said, yes, sir, I had told him the situation. In any case, the Holy Prophet ﷺ then came, and he told all the companions to come in, but do not make much noise. And he was giving the naans and the curry to each person, and he said, leave the pot on the fire. And he continued to distribute the meal to everyone till everyone ate to their fill, and there was still some meal left. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, you can eat and send it to others, because many people were hungry for quite some days. So this was the full trust in God, as a result of which the Holy Prophet ﷺ was sure that with the blessing of his prayer, Allah will show some miracle. There was only a few means that the whole city had eaten to their fill with a young of a goat and with a small flower of barley. When little means were available, he used to use them, but he always put his trust in God and used to supplicate to his Lord, I will put before you of some of his prayers. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both, say that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to finish his evening prayer, he used to pray, O Lord, this is my prayer, you are the one who accept prayers. O Allah, this is my effort, but I put my trust in you. So whatever prayer he used to make, he used to supplicate for their acceptance and also express his trust in God. Then Ibn Abbas also reports that Hazrat, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to pray that, O Allah, I submit to you, believe in you, put my trust in you, bow to you, and I defend against the enemy with your prayer, I seek protection of your honor, none is worthy of worship except you, you are living, none is, and everyone is to be, to die. There is another prayer which has been mentioned, and this is reported by Hazrat Jabir, that when he was going in ruku, he used to pray,
وَلَكَ أَسْلَمْتُ وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ أَنْتَ رَبِّي فَشَعَ سَمِي وَبَصَرِي وَدَمِي وَلَحْمِي وَعِظَمِي وَأَصْبِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
O Allah, I have believed you, I have become Muslim, and I put my trust in you, you are my Lord, my eyes and my ears, my whole body is for Allah, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Hazrat Umm Salma, may Allah be pleased with her, reports that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come of the Haun, he said, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, Allahumma inni auzubika o ajilla. That in the name of Allah, I put my trust in Allah, O my Allah, I seek your protection to be misled, and or also for misled, or for slip-ups, I come into your protection, and I seek protection that I should transgress against someone, or someone should transgress against me, or I should treat someone ignorantly, or someone should treat me ignorantly and commit excess against me. That by putting one's trust in Allah, he used to seek protection from God from all these evils. That, O Allah, I put my trust in you, so please protect me against all such evil. Hazrat Abdullah reports that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in prayer at night, he used to pray, O Allah, all praise is for you, you are the light of heaven and earth, and you have established heaven and hell, earth, you are Lord of heaven and earth, and Lord of everything which is in between, and you are true, your promise is true, and meeting to you is true, the fire is true, the hell is true, and the day of judgment is true. Then he would say, I have submitted to you, and I believed in you, O Allah, and I put my trust in you, and I bowed to you, and I have quarreled with you, and made you my protector. Oh, please forgive me every mistake that I have made, or I will make in future. Please forgive me. forgive me those sins that I've committed in the past and in the future, the one I have made obvious and the other I have hidden. So in every prayer, the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to say that every of my movement and my rest, everything that I do is in by putting my trust in Allah, you. And without putting trust in you and certitude in you, I have no life. So whatever good I have depends on you. And I put my trust in you and beg from you. In his last illness, how he showed his trust in God. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, reports that he put 8 dinar with me, and in his last illness he said, Aisha, what is the gold coins that I gave you? She said, give it in charity. Aisha was busy with something else and asked her, have you spent in charity? She said, no. Then he asked her to bring that, and he counted them and said, what would be the trust of Muhammad in his Lord that by leaving this earth he should have some dinar in his possession? So he gave them in charity. He was not worried that what will happen to my wife and my children's. What will happen to my wives? And he had children and grandchildren, and that he should leave something for them. But it was his full trust in God that after me, he will look after them the same way as he look after me and will continue to fulfill their need. And therefore, she said that whatever I possess in the house, you should immediately spend in charity. Then, admonishing his followers, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and it's reported, that Hazrat Umar reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you put your trust in Allah as you ought to, then Allah will certainly provide for you as He provides the birds, that they come out with empty stomach and return in the evening with a full stomach. So here he had reminded everyone to put trust in Allah. And you can do your duty in putting trust when you have full certitude in Him, you have perfect faith in all His attributes, and you are obeying all His commands. So when in such a situation you develop the trust in Allah, then according to His promises, Allah will then look after His servants and fulfill their needs. There is another report, and he gave this glad tidings to his followers. Hazrat Hussain, may Allah be pleased with him, reports that I was with Sayyid bin Zubair. He said that Abbas told me that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the different followers were brought before you, and every prophet had his followers with you. Some had 10, 5, 1, and then I saw a large number. I said to Gabriel, is this my followers? He said, no. He said, look up, and he saw a large number. There are 70,000 who will be the army of your enemy. They will not be put to account, nor they will be punished. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, why? He said, because they did not pursue the evil practices, but they used to put their trust in God. And these are the people who will enter paradise without putting put to account. So the people who were sitting there, Hasha bin Mohsin stood up that, O Allah, pray that I should be one among them. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, O Kasha, you are also included among them. the situation today mostly among the Muslim, but by adopting, by looking at others, the Ahmadis are also now starting following these evil practices. And in India and Pakistan also, I hear I receive some letters that there are certain situations who depend on and putting their trust in things other than Allah. And therefore, you see in this under the light of this report that how you should protect yourself, because those who put their trust in Allah and are protected against such evil practices of putting their trust in other things than God, they are the ones who will win Allah's pleasure. Therefore, you should always put your trust in God and seek His protection. When one place he has said that by taking lots is idolatry. And if you have trust in God, Allah will, even if you have a thought of such taking lots, Allah will protect you. So all such practices, you must protect yourself because they are equal to idolatry. So this is a great warning. There is another report. Hazrat Amr bin As reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is a valley in every heart, and the one who pursues those valleys, Allah does not care which one valley will make him be destroyed. But those who put a trust in Allah, Allah will protect them from all these valleys. That there are valleys of greed and also lust in the world, worldly lust, and there are many places where other than Allah cast their shadows. Rather than putting trust in Allah, man has fear of people and depend on worldly means more. So Allah, he says that Allah has no care for such people. But if you have trust in God, then God will protect man when they have evil thoughts in their mind, that as a result of which his servant who has full trust in him is protected. Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says that the incidents of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life shows clearly and prominently that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a courageous with God and put his trust in God and turned himself away from world and put all his trust in God. He had no hope from creation. He had full trust in God that by absorbing in the pleasure of God, he never cared that following the unity of God, what suffering I will have to face. But he tolerated all adversity and difficulty, and he fulfilled all methods of admonition and never feared anyone. We say that you will not find such a fearful situation in the life of the Prophet, and no one put so much trust in God, and by avoiding all means of idolatry and being and the one who is so steadfast like the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not find any other Prophet. That such situation developed where they were so fearful. There were so many enemies. Despite that, he remained constant and remained steadfast and continuously persevered with his work because of the trust he had in God. He says that by absorbing in the thought of God is so great with the Holy Prophet ﷺ that he never cared of anyone's praise nor of ridicule. How great difficulties he faced, but he cared not. No greed could stop him from the work which he had come to do for God. As long as a man does not develop such a situation and does not pass this test, he should have no fear that whosoever will turn to God will also depend on him, and he will have give no relevance to the world. He is the one who will put full trust in God. So that is, to become mutawakkil, you must become mutabattil. As long as you have depend on others, until then you cannot put full trust in God. The one who turns to God and breaks his link with God, he develops a link with God. And this can only be achieved when you have full trust in God, as was by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he had turned away from the world and he had put full trust in God. And that is why he never cared of great tribes and leaders and was not influenced by their opposition. He had a miraculous certitude in the existence of God. That is why he took such a great burden and took on the opposition of the whole world and cared not for them. And this is the greatest example of his trust in God, for which you find no parallel in the world. He believed in God, but let the whole world be his enemy. And this cannot be developed unless one sees God. As long as he does not have the hope that Allah will open another door, when you have this hope, then he even makes his relatives his enemies in the way of God. Because he knows that Allah will create new friends. He loses his property because he has the certitude that Allah will replace it with better. In brief, you must give precedence to the pleasure of Allah and then turn to God fully and turn away from the world. This is our stand in this matter. May Allah enable all of us to follow the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should always submit to God and put our trust in God always. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله